Future Money Briefing for Tuesday, November 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Between inflation and the topsy-turvy stock market, this has probably been a rough year for your personal finances. And in just a few months, it'll be time to make an accounting of it when you file your taxes. But there are steps you can take now to put yourself in a position to get a tax break next year.
Well, this is very important because really, there's very little you can do after the end of the year to affect your taxes for 2022.
Coming up, our tax reporter Laura Saunders will discuss some ways you can reduce your tax bill next year and some important tax changes that you should prepare for now. That's after the break.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This week, we turn the calendar page over to December, and that means it's a good time to think about getting your tax papers together, not only to be ready for new tax laws coming next year, but also to score some potentially significant tax breaks. Our tax reporter Laura Saunders is here with more. Hey, Laura, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, Laura, why is it important for people to get a head start and get their papers together in advance?
Well, this is very important because really, there's very little you can do after the end of the year to affect your taxes for 2022. There are a few things. You can contribute to an HSA or a Roth IRA or an IRA up until April 18 when you file your taxes. That's the deadline. But you can't make charitable contributions. You can't sell stocks and have it count for 2022. There are just many things you can't do. So you've got to get things done before the end of the year.
All right, well, let's get right into it. Among all the tax changes for the new year, one that'll probably affect a lot of people is the standard deduction. Can you tell us about the changes there?
Well, those are very important. Taxpayers get to subtract a certain amount from their taxable income, either the standard deduction, that's one lump sum, or itemized deductions, a whole bunch of things like your medical expenses, your mortgage interest, your charitable deductions, things like that. So more and more people have been moving into the standard deduction for various reasons. And this year, we got a very big bump in the standard deduction because of inflation. For 2022, the standard deduction for a married couple is $25,900. But for 2023, the standard deduction is now $27,700. That's an $1,800 boost, and it's going to put more people into the standard deduction rather than deducting their state taxes and medical expenses and mortgage interest. Single people are getting a boost as well. They're going from $12,950 to $13,850. So that's a pretty big jump, $900. And then the other thing to remember is that people who are 65 or older, they get an extra standard deduction. In 2022, that's at least $1,400 per person. And 2023, it's at least $1,500 per person. So that the standard deduction is just getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, that could be good for a lot of people. And you know, people sometimes make adjustments and raise the amount of tax withheld on their paycheck late in the year. Why is that significant looking ahead to 2023?
Well, this moves into another area. It has to do with withholding and estimated taxes. You know that there is a rule or rules that say that most taxpayers have to pay about 90% of what they owe by the end of the year or in early January to avoid getting hit with underpayment penalties. You can't just wait until April 15th and then just pay all the tax you owe for the year. Uncle Sam wants money all the way along. And so if people have had windfalls or uneven earnings or something like that, they need to check that withholding and estimated tax payments because the penalty on underpayments is rising a lot. At the beginning of last year, it was 4%. We think that in January, it's going to be 7%. So that's getting to be pretty serious interest rate on underpayments.
Now, what if somebody expects to get a large refund? What should they consider doing now to avoid surprises next year?
Well, I think that maybe it's a good idea to go in and see if you want to adjust your withholding or your estimated taxes because the pandemic and other things have caused so many snafus and refund delays and things like that. And so maybe the smartest thing to do is to lower your withholding or your estimated payment so that you really aren't expecting a big refund, because when you don't get it for months and months and months, if something happens, that can be extremely frustrating.
You know, a lot of people have side hustles these days. For someone doing gig work or maybe selling items on an online marketplace, how should they prepare for next year?
Oh, this is so important. People who are business owners, and that would include side hustles and gig work, they have to pay estimated quarterly taxes. But in the past, a lot of people have sort of ignored these taxes, especially if they were for fairly small amounts. Now, under the prior law, you could earn $20,000 from some of these side gigs or selling on eBay or something before anything got reported to the IRS. However, in 2021, Congress changed the law, and it said that the threshold for the companies, the platforms and the gig companies reporting those payments to the IRS would go from $20,000 to $600. That's a huge difference. As things stand right now, if you were selling more than, say, $600 worth of items on eBay, that will be reported to the IRS in January, and you'll have to figure out how to incorporate that into your tax return. So you need to gather your records and make sure you have good records. It's possible that Congress will change this law. It's also possible the IRS will delay the new law and the reporting for a year, because I'm not sure the country is ready for an extra 50 million tax forms going to people who've worked on platforms. But you need to get your records together.
Wow, that could be a lot of tax forms. I'm sure America's trees want that to be delayed.
Yes, exactly.
So now I want to ask you about investments. You've been with us before saying that people could sell investment losses as a way to get a tax deduction. What should they know before hitting the sell button?
It is true that losses on assets held in taxable accounts, this is not assets in IRAs and 401ks and things like that, but if they're actually held in taxable accounts, then if you sell at a loss, you can take the loss and you can use it to offset future investment gains. Also, $3,000 of ordinary income like wages every year. So that's valuable. And those losses don't expire until you do. And it's at least it's something. Now, one of the things that's important is that if you have a security in one of these accounts, like, I don't know, some ABC stock, and it's way down, and you really like it, and you just want to capture the loss to use it to offset other gains, then you can't buy it back either 30 days before or 30 days after the sale at a loss, or else there are penalties on that, because otherwise you would just be minting losses. But this is something to look at. You know, it's been a way down year for stocks, and so maybe you want to harvest losses or take losses.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for people with stocks and with retirement accounts. But with people with, let's say, IRAs, what changes could they make to put them in a good position for next year?
One thing they could do is consider converting some of their assets to a Roth IRA. The advantages of a Roth IRA are that you don't pay tax on withdrawals from it. So the growth is tax-free and the money can come out tax-free in general. And some people feel that if you convert when the market is down, when it's taken a hit, you'll have more upside potential. We can't prove the market's ever going to go up again, but historically, a Roth conversion in a down market has worked better than, say, when the market is at a peak. It's just hard to know when the peaks and valleys are. And the two other factors that could make a conversion a good idea are, one is that if your tax rate will be lower when you put the money in than when you take it out. Like if you're a 25-year-old and you think you'll take it out when you're 70, your tax rate will probably be higher at 70.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Laura Saunders. Laura, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
I'm Paul Gigot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.